Welcome, Luca. Welcome to this podcast. And we're going to be talking about the topic of digital fluency. So interesting topic, and I'm interested in your journey to this topic.
Yeah, thank you, Raf. Well, my journey into the topic and into actually the field of digital implication for human life start back in when I was in college in undergrad studies. Indeed, my academic background is in sociology of cultural processes with a focus on media studies. And as a research thesis of my undergraduate studies, I started actually observing and investigating on how media influence identity development. At that time, it was a time of media studies that was mostly focused on TV, and internet was just at its beginning. But yet, there was already studies and interest on how that influenced the way of being and human interaction. Following my undergraduate studies, I continue with studying in leadership for innovation and change. And again, I posed my focus on my research on remote collaboration, and in particular on conflict resolution within remote teams. But lately, I've been continuing my studies and research in technology-enhanced learning, which is something, of course, that a broadened spectrum on the digital literacy and influence, and how that influence actually human behavior and human relation. So in the last two decades, I've been working in higher education, and currently, since 4 years, I'm the dean of SE Institute in charge of 7 European countries. And Europe, as everyone knows, and as largely and mostly across the planet, we have been hit by the COVID-19 pandemic status.
It's been a singular situation for all of us, hasn't it?
Indeed. And with this unprecedented phenomenon of humans being locked in their homes for weeks or months, in some cases, to avoid this COVID-19 contagion to increase, many aspects, if not so most social aspects, have been dramatically changed. And as never before, the digital divide became more evident as a cause of unequal quality of life, since clearly, the remote practice was the only way to sustain social interaction and therefore create value in workplaces and in education. So it was like the mean that was somewhat sustaining social interaction and quality of life. So in light of this, I might say that digital skills have become a threshold of quality in education as an attribute of graduates, but also for critical producers of nowadays society. So it became visible and fundamentally important to observe.
It is. And you mentioned digital literacy, and the topic we're talking about, fluency. So maybe let's explore that topic, because it's often been spoken about literacy, digital literacy, as being significant. But I think it's more interesting when we start looking at this question of digital fluency.
Yeah. So how is digital fluency different from digital literacy? That somewhat create a link also with aspect of philosophy of language, Wittgenstein above all. And there's a tight connection within language as a mean, as a tool, and its digital approach. So, for example, in learning a foreign language, a literate person can read, speak, listen for understanding the new language that is learning, but a fluent person is one that can create something in that language, a story, a poem, a play, a conversation. So somewhat historically, the term literacy has been always connected to the concept of information production, and therefore used in spite of the term alphabetization. So when referring to digital literacy at the time of media studies in the 90s, when I was referring before, we talked about the capacity to navigate through hypertext, to search over the internet, the knowledge of how to assemble digital content and the ability to evaluate information. So the typical of alphabetization, to read, write, and understand what you read and what you write, simply in terms of that. But it appears that nowadays only 2% of information is in print format. Therefore, the digital word profoundly influences one's meaning creation process and take a prevalence over the meaning creation of humans. So if digital literacy skills are more and more redefined into this concept of fluency, of the ability actually to create something with it, is more a definition of an ability to use technology to learn, work, play, the ability to select tools in a critical way and adapt them to the use in a changing context.
Well, actually, I think there was a key term that you mentioned. It goes beyond adaptation to, you said, creation, and it's creativity. Is that what distinguishes between literacy and fluency?
Indeed, it is the ability to do something with those technological tools. So it basically goes to a different paradigm of a cognitive approach, which is related to application and above all creation of meaning through technological tools. So it is, yes, an ability to understand and select technologies, but it's mostly about combining them with social competencies of communication and interrelation.
But is the technology aspect a rabbit hole? Is that something that everyone latches onto, but is that really at the heart of digital fluency? Because I know technology has been important, but, you know, the biro was a technology innovation. Paper was a technology innovation. It's not the technology, isn't it? It's changing. You talked about cognitive processes.
Yeah, it's about digital technology, the one that we're actually talking about. Because of course, same could be can be said about, for example, the print. Print was a technological invention that changed profoundly the human being. But again, also with that level of technology, there was an alphabetization and a fluency, which is actually the ability to use it in a broader concept, which is not only related to the technology itself, but to the relation that this technology has to communication and interrelation, and therefore of transversal competences applied through that specific technology. Nowadays, living a digital revolution, that's the fluency that we're actually looking into. And therefore, all the concept of alphabetization, if you want to define it as such, or digital literacy of the 90s, somewhat are rephrased and are changing into the modern spectrum. And so rather than finding, understanding and creating content, we look at capacity to experiment with one's surrounding in a form of problem solving, to adopt alternative identities into the digital world for the purpose of improvisation and discovery into a different spectrum. We are looking into abilities to follow stories across multiple platforms and modality. We're looking at new forms of negotiation, for example, which are related to the ability to travel across diverse community, discerning, respecting multiple perspective and grasping alternative norms depending on the place in which you are.
Well, just talking about place, is it a question of changing our relationship with the physical world? Because you're talking about moving across those, is it?
It is profoundly impacting our relation within the physical world and the digital world. The digital world is somewhat creating more and more a parallel life, which is somewhat connected to our own physical life, and it's becoming, I don't want to say prevalent, because I mean that will be perhaps exaggerating, but substantial, and therefore with different norms and application of human relation into the sphere of digital
Well,
life.
there has been a significant shift, because I remember when this whole notion of the cyber space was spoken about. It was something separate. It was something that you went into. Even you had that, remember the movie Tron, where there was this idea that you would go into the cyberspace. Now that's a nonsense. That's like seeing as an archaic concept, because that continuum between the digital world, physical world, Internet of Things, is changed. It's we've already flipped into that space, haven't we? And is this where the key thing about fluency is significant for education?
Exactly, and it allow for the creation of multiple identities. Something okay, it started already in the 90s with the idea of an ever-changing identity depending on the different faces and the different masks that human were wearing into different contexts. But of course, the digital world allow people actually to move into multiple perspective and diverse communities, and in some cases also have a different simultaneous identities related to the different communities that they are actually part of by maintaining a single a
Is that
single
an
perspective.
expression of creativity then? So multiple identities, this is getting an interesting philosophical space. Multiple identities, fiction, is it truthful? What is truth? Are we getting
It's
there?
actually support. It actually support largely a creative development for sure, and it has a tight connection with creativity, and unavoidably enhance one's creativity. Oftentimes we talk about social media profiles. Social media profiles are somewhat defining a trait of your identity, and everyone actually creates and change his profile across the different platforms, and somewhat create the image of himself across the multiple spectrum. So surely it leads to this, but the substantial fundamental change and difference within the literacy and the fluency is indeed the transversal competences which are applied and they are basically enhanced through the digital world and through all these let's say flexibility and creativity that actually allow for, in case of course you have the fluency to use such tools to somewhat create a digital sphere around you.
So that's been a fairly fluid discussion on digital fluency. Let's ground it a bit with the whole implication then for education. So taking the example of where we are in SAE, where is the place of digital fluency in SAE curriculum?
Well, surely SAE use a lot of technology, a lot of technological tools to actually accomplish tasks that are related to creative media product and production flows.
We teach a lot of technology, but are we successful in teaching with technology?
I think that we can improve, but we're not the only one, let's say,
Sure,
that
but
are a little bit behind. Yeah.
let's say we have this interesting nexus, and it is, in a way, I won't claim it'd be absolutely unique, but it is a particular SAE situation, isn't it?
Yeah, we can work on it. I would say that If I make a comparison with other educational institution in the southern part of Europe, we're probably ahead of them in at least adopting some technological platforms to enhance the learning. That said, we're not really observing the skill and the competences, the digital skills and competences, and the digital fluency of students and teachers in a proper way. So we are not really looking at this specific aspect as an attribute to enhance, as something to observe and work on. But as I mentioned, we're not the only one. Indeed, just a couple of years ago, in 2018, the Horizon report was showing that the issue of digital literacy is an ongoing and significant issue in education training. So it seems that, you know, according to something which is a valuable report as the Horizon one, is saying, hey, listen, teachers don't take in consideration digital literacy as they're supposed to. So it's an ongoing and significant issue to take into account.
They have been pretty accurate, those Horizon reports. They seem to have made a good call for, you know, a good decade now, haven't they?
And I think, again, somewhat the aspect of literacy and fluency is, again, one of those matters that create difficulties in driving this change and in actually promoting an enhance of a digital culture across educators. Because if you look at, for a second, at the difference within literacy and fluency, and again, looking at the example of the language that we took before, a digital literate instructor might have the skills to set up and configure tools within the confines of the virtual learning environment or the learning management system, perhaps even understand when to use those tools to achieve specific outcomes. I'm thinking about quiz banks or speed graders.
So you're talking about a interoperability of these digital tools then. So
indeed, I mean,
we
think, okay, someone who's actually a fluent person is someone who's able to use the tools and achieve a specific outcome, such as, I don't know, I want to create a formative assessment, understand if the students remember such a concept, I put a quiz, and because I know my learning management system very well, so I know this platform and some connected tools, put it in place and achieve the outcomes. But then perhaps they struggle when they're confronted with different set of tools and different platforms that don't work in the same way. So that will be a digital literate instructor who's actually someone who know how to use a tool and put it in place, but someone is confined to that. Well, a digital fluent instructor is someone who can comfortably and quickly move from one tool to another with confidence, with an understanding on how and why technologies might be different. So a digital fluent instructor, above all, is someone who's able to compare, contrast, and analyze the difference in technology and understand how they impact their pedagogies and therefore adjust accordingly. So the digital fluency of an instructor rely, again, in first instance, to his ability to adapt a pedagogical perspective with tools and not the other way around.
So where would you see it injecting it? Because we're coming up to revalidation for our programs across Europe and the UK. Where do you see the opportunities there?
Indeed. I mean, I as mentioned before, since it has a strong relation with the pedagogical use of technology, they are also very much related to a specific kind of pedagogies, because again we say that fluency has to deal with communication and interrelation, and so it does. the cognitive and the situative learning approaches, which are supportive in a way of a communitarian learning process where critical thinking goes hand in hand with planning, problem solving, and all the aspects are more related to fluency rather than literacy. So if digital fluency is an ability to understand and select technology while combining them with social competences by approaching the learning through cognitive and situative perspective, learners will be involved in exploration of concepts and they will develop their meanings through dialogue creation and reflection. And it is therefore an opportunity, particularly when we're dealing with remote practice, to embed.
This is something that's really important for pandemic, isn't it?
Indeed. So the combination of situative and cognitive learning perspectives, which again have this communitarian approach driven by dialogue, creation, reflection, and it combined with a remote practice, they can really be an occasion, an opportunity to somewhat embed the digital literacy skills observation and therefore the fluency enhancement as a formal part of SE program, and therefore adopt proper pedagogies and learning design strategies to observe and therefore create awareness and therefore enhance such a fluency over the practice of certain pedagogies through the use of technologies.
Okay, so just gleaning from that, just distilling some of those points. So you were saying digital fluency would enhance collaboration, so it accelerates and enhances that. It aids remote learning, and it also the interoperability of different applications to be able to use them at will. Is that a fair summary?
Indeed. I mean, collaboration and creation and reflection exist on paper, if you want. But of course, if you combine it with remote practice, then it becomes something that goes above the digital literacy and it becomes a driver for a form of fluency, equally to what you were doing when you had a piece of paper and a pencil to actually
it accelerates that. I mean, we're talking about collaboration. If we're talking the analog world, you would need to be in the room, or the physical world, you all need to be in the room. You could write each other letters, you could write a book, a note, to each other. Now we're talking about collaboration, not just being passive in two different locations, but it could be active. Things can happen dynamically. They could be notes scribbled on a bus, texted to each other, things altered. It's sort of, we talked about physical space, but what about impact on the way people's perception of time? Sort of the demarcation of when you study, when you don't study. Do you think this has changed, especially in pandemic? Have you seen that yourself?
Oh, that of course during the pandemic status has changed, but I think that the overall digital implications in our everyday life really changed the concept of synchronous life. And the synchronous and asynchronous word somewhat became more and more closer. So the dimension of time took a little bit of a different paradigm. Of course, there is still schedules which are driving project accomplishment, yet what stays in between doesn't necessarily follow the presential and the face-to-face kind of time paradigm. And therefore, the practice of asynchronous practice somewhat get more and more tight with the synchronous one and somewhat contribute to an evolution of creation without the necessity of a of a synchronous practice on a simultaneous timing.
Okay, so we're talking about challenging some two fairly fundamental aspects of higher education. One, the location or the campus, and now the schedule or the time. So we're looking at the challenge to whether a campus and the semester, are they old industrial models that now we're only just understanding with digital fluency and digital technology will change them completely?
I think that will have a profound change. The semester term, submission deadlines, etc., are part of the quality production cycle of education that will be still a little bit hard to remove. But they will become, I believe, more and more flexible in terms of their also determination of milestones. So of course, there's going to be always an ultimate end point in which you're going to be going from one stage to another.
We have to find new markers, because otherwise, if people are, if it's completely free, no campus, no timing, complete freedom, as I think, quoting Stravinsky, that is the enemy of creativity. We would have to find new milestones. So what are we looking at, those new milestones, those new markers, collaboration? Where do you see that reforming in this digital fluent world?
Well, I do see trying to connect in the dots a very strong connection within the holistic assessment, which is taking consideration also the baseline of competence acquisition and therefore demonstration of such competences, regardless of the one-time performance kind of old-style exams.
And therefore, it's a consistent observing, a consistent achievement,
exactly.
Building of mastery.
Exactly. So the holistic assessment, the cognitive and situative perspectives of the pedagogical approaches, which are embracing the remote practice and therefore using the digital world and therefore enhancing its fluency as a one single changing word which will be falling over the education of 21st century unavoidably.
So we're going to have to sort of bring our discussion, which has been really very interesting. Let me put to you that one question now to maybe bring it all together. Where do you see the next steps?
Well, first of all, again, thinking about the holistic assessment and the matter of observation, digital fluency is similar. It's not something. It's like a language. Again, I quoted Wittgenstein at the beginning of this chat, but like a language, it doesn't grow in a linear perspective from 1 to 10, but it extend granular in context. It's more. The fluency is more a condition than an ability, somewhat. It's something someone will say that perhaps to create a condition, the first step is to develop awareness. Because again, it's not a linear growth of pieces of knowledge which you put one after another, but it takes in consideration different aspects. So I think the first thing, in order to trying to implement, first of all, the awareness, and through that create an enhancement of fluency and embed it into the process of learning, is to take a way to actually include a form of assessment and observation into the curriculum redesign that we're actually undergoing now in 2020. And the idea that I had was also to take in consideration the European Commission Digital Competency Framework, which is looking very broadly as a form of fluency and create a system of assessment which is structured in a very granular form, taking in consideration the level of complexity of the task, but also the level of autonomy through which the user is actually undergoing the task, the collaboration that task imply, as well as the cognitive domain that implies. So it's not, again, a simple scale. So the European Commission invited SAE to be part of the Digital Competences Community of Practice and to share with them the way that we intend to assess our students' digital fluency. So I would embrace this framework and this community of practice for sure, and try to put into the modules and the part of the program which is mostly based on situative and cognitive perspective through remote practice, and including the holistic assessment, the behavioral observation, which is actually looking also at the digital fluency. Of course, that will imply also training for the learning facilitators, so that they're going to be able to observe themselves and the students into this framework while they are going to be ongoing this program, and perhaps include this observation as a part of the overall holistic assessment of a student in collaborative project adopting remote practice. The idea is to run it through a pilot project, so initially taking one campus or two where you also can build the capacity into the faculty, and use this pilots as a form of a championship approach to spread across the different campuses as a model and an example, and also create forms of micro-credentials because not only the Horizon 2018, but also many researches on employabilities are showing that digital abilities, not to call them fluency or literacy, are becoming standards for employability, and therefore it is essential also to recognize your abilities, and if we're able to adopt a structured frameworks into our programs, we are going to be able also to qualify and quantify the fluency of a student into adoption of digital approaches into their practice.
Okay, so it would be so you're bringing in those aspects of digital fluency as a part of the assessment, and then you would be looking to credential those different discrete skills in that assessment process. Okay, well, I think we're facing an exciting time for this revalidation. It's a great challenge, and great that you're going to be part of the team revalidating. So thanks again, Luca.
Thank you. Thank you.